Okay, thank you very much. And now Keith Cunningham.
Thank you. Hi. My name's Keith Cunningham. I'm from Allen County, Ohio. I'm the elections director there. Allen County is a community of about 112,000 people with approximately 70,000 registered voters. I run an election office with a staff of six, including myself. I suppose I'm here to represent the position where all of this stops. After we've discussed it and massaged it and given all of our opinions, it all pretty much stops in front of my door. It seems to me that, so I'm not really going to be in a position here today to give you a whole lot of high-level thought, try to give you some practical thought and some observations from ground level. It seems the problem that we're dealing with is that we're trying to independently verify people's identity in a world that is increasingly privacy-oriented. And I'm not fully sure that we're ever going to be able to accomplish that goal. Matching, by and large, occurs at the state level, so I don't have a whole lot of hands-on work with it. I've conversed pretty regularly with my state people. I understand what they're doing. So I would suggest that the use of the 9-digit social security number is probably only going to be the only way that we ever even get close in this matter. I would suggest, and I know it's an absurd suggestion, that we simply try to establish identity at the point of registration, and then we don't have to go through all of this after the fact. But I know we're not going to do that, but I'm going to advocate it to you anyway. It would make things a lot easier, it seems to me. Just in response to some of the things I've heard today, as for the address changes with the United States Postal Service, by and large they work, but you've got to remember a lot of the people that we have problems with don't submit change of address forms. They don't want their mail. Or somebody wants them to pay a bill, or somebody's looking for them for some child custody. So, you know, those people are forever going to be in the crack, if you will. The Postal Service's addresses include warehouses, they include businesses, they include marinas. So that file, to me, is of limited value. It also seems to me here that if our hope or your hope as a committee is to have something in place for the 2008 election, we might be a little behind the eight ball here. I'm not sure that it's maybe not too late for that, my friends. I think we're stuck with what we've got. I receive registrations from the military, assisted living facilities. I get them over the counter. I get them from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, Department of Human Services, high schools, vocational schools. I get them by mail. I get them from departments of mental retardation. I get them from nursing homes. I get them from libraries. I get them from rehabilitation services. And then I get some from the state. And one thing is common throughout all of them. They are all handwritten. So the basic act of entering a voter registration into the system is fraught with potential error because not everybody, you know, paid attention in second grade writing class, and sometimes those are very, very difficult to read. Once it gets in wrong, then we're all forever faced with the problem of trying to sort it out. Again, back to it would sure be a lot easier just to establish identity at the point of registration, get good information in the system, and we're off and running. I think the other thing I feel somewhat compelled to at least get on the table here today, because so much of this talk is strictly focused on the absolute end of the use of the database, and that is ultimately matching voters. I know some of you are election officials, but some of you aren't. So let me remind you that at the local level, we're doing a lot of things with this database. We're tracking the issue and return of absentee ballots. We're assigning poll workers. We're assigning them to precincts. We're managing districts. We're using signature verification, petition checking, producing poll books. We're interfacing with our county's GIS systems in ways that that help us lay out districts. I'm actually using my county's GIS system now with most likely voters to determine sort of where I'm going to experience heavy voter turnouts. I'm merging those two. We are, digitizing signatures, digitizing registrations, imaging documents to go in with it. We're printing absentee labels for candidates, providing political parties with lists, dealing with voter histories, jury modules, so on. So these are all functions. So I guess I'm saying this because to speak in terms of simply straight match only, there's a lot of other ramifications going on with the use of a database that perhaps aren't germane to the discussion today, but I just don't think should be overlooked. I want to echo the remarks. I run into this a lot where one name comes to mind. He happens to be one of my county commissioners. His name is William Dan Reif. I didn't know that until we ran into a problem with trying to find him in the system because he's registered under W. Dan Reif, and I've known him for 25 years as Dan Reif, as has most people. So this goes, I think, to Kimball's issue. People could be in that system in any number of ways, and finding them and matching them could be extremely complicated. So when I hear, Social Security say, oh, that's a problem, or I hear the post office say that's a problem, or, again, it all sort of ends up my problem. On election day, the voters across my counter arguing with me over their registration that might have come from somewhere else. It also strikes me that, silly to advocate this. It also strikes me that most organizations, Social Security, you got to go to the Social Security office. Can't register by mail. change of address forms. What's that? I'm sorry. So when you take all these sources and you bring them in, and you bring them in handwritten form, and even if you can transfer some of this data digitally, you got to remember, at least in Ohio, there are some boards of elections that are in extremely rural counties that have two people working in them. I'm sure you probably have that in Utah as well. Just very rural. When one's at lunch and one's sick, the office gets closed for an hour. I'm not sure that they have the ability to come up to the level that we're attempting to bring all of this to. Their resources are very strained, very limited, and quite frankly, no offense to them, but their technology understanding and comprehension and skill sets are pretty limited. So I won't belabor this any further. I felt it was incumbent upon me as a local to at least bring some of the issues that after it's all said and done and discussed as it rolls down and sort of stops at my door, what we face in this equation and the problems it presents us. Just to add one more thing, the other thing here is one of the unintended consequences of HAVA, I think, is that the failure to match or the failure to establish identity generates a provisional ballot. And we're beginning to generate provisional ballots in larger and larger numbers every year. That's good in one respect. The voter leaves the poll without, the voter is able to leave the poll having voted. From an election administration standpoint, though, in an environment where the certification deadlines are getting compressed and more compressed and more compressed, and everybody wants election results faster and faster and faster, the sudden influence of large amounts of provisional ballots make it very problematic at the local level. Thank you very much.
Thank you.